him, while her breath came in sharp, brittle gasps. "And you'd best damn remember that even with all your magnificent abilities, as you proclaim, a Malachi cannot travel through time without assistance." She raked a less than impressed stare over his body. "Even one who's fully formed. You have no other allies who will work with you by choice, nor do you know anything more than your father's memories as they were." She glanced to Grimm, then sneered at Cyprian. "Like it or not, boy, you need us. So don't threaten me again. Unless it's your wish to remain here and never reach the future you want to return to." In that moment, it took everything he had not to choke her with his powers, to rip out her cold heart and feed it to the worthless snipe beside her. But sadly, she was right. Every bit of it. For now, he needed her, whether he liked it or not, and he definitely didn't like this bitter taste of gall in his mouth. His breathing labored, he turned on a hostile heel and stalked from the room. Yet with every click of his combat boot heel, he plotted their deaths in his mind. And his father's. "Your day is coming, Ambrose. The darkness dawns, and I intend to ram it straight down your throat. Again." The memory of their battle to come was what he lived for. Especially after having been forced to endure in this primitive time period, gah, it was amazing that mankind had survived as long as they had. Why they were so upset with his eradication was beyond him. Honestly, he'd done them all a favor by wiping the human scum from the planet. They should have given him a medal. Had they? No. Instead, the thankless beasts had sent an arrow back in time to stop him. Cyprian cocked his head as he heard his mother speaking with Grimm.
"He's getting too big for his britches."
"Shh," his mother snapped. "He'll hear you."
"It's ridiculous. We were riders of the apocalypse, the chosen Usumgalu. You with the Saru Tahazu, and I the Saru Namos. Now,
we will ride again. My father's almost dead. All we have to do is ensure the timeline remains as it should and return to our time period. Once Noir is weaker, we can take his blood and use it against Cyprian to bind him to us. Once we do that, we'll be the ones in control. Have patience, my love."
Cyprian felt the Malachi surging, wanting their blood, but as his mother said, patience. He'd come this far. He could make the distance, and if they thought to overthrow and enslave him, as Noir had once done his grandfather, then they were about to learn the truth behind the Malachi. Only one of his own blood could stop him. That would be a son, which he didn't have. Or his father. "Not on my watch, old man."
Just as that day in battle, when he'd driven his sword through his father's heart and kicked him away to die, he would emerge victorious again. It was the Malachi destiny to reign over this world, and while his father might be weakened by the kindness he'd learned from his seraph mother, he was not. Forget dancing in the rain. Before all was said and done, Cyprian intended to dance in the blood of every living creature, and none more so than Ambrose Malachi.
Nick jumped as his phone rang. Stunned, he glanced over to Takeshi, then to Simi and Nashira.
Anyone have any idea how there's a cell tower in this dimension?
Takeshi snorted. It's magic.
Seriously, bruh? You took it there.
He shrugged nonchalantly.
You asked. That's the answer. I have to allow it for all the times Asheron comes to visit. Those dark hunters of yours never leave that poor boy alone. I don't know how he stays sane.
Simi made a rude noise.
Ain't that the truthest? Ring, ring, ring! That old phone rings so much, I swear the seam Mommy hears it even in her sleep. I edited once and made him real unhappy. Didn't make the Simi as happy as the Simi thought it would either. And no one wants to know what happens when it has to come back out, because them phones are not biologically degradable.
Not wanting to think about that comment at all, Nick pulled his phone out.
Hey, Ma, sorry,
Where are you, Boo?
Nick winced at her hysterical tone. That was what his mom was most famous for. If he ever got out of her sight, she was like a bloodhound, tracking him down to the farthest reaches of the cosmos. He was surprised she hadn't tethered them together on his arrival from the womb and insisted, rather than cut the cord, they find some way to fuse it together permanently so that he could never leave her side. And while he hated to ever lie to her, telling her that he was in an alternate dimension with a couple of preternatural super-beings was just a really bad idea.
I was feeling better, so I went out to grab a bite with friends. Didn't you see the note I left?
Something strange was going on in the background. Were those sirens? He wasn't quite sure. When his mom spoke again, it was in a low tone that sounded like she had her hand cupped over the mic.
Listen, baby. There's a situation here. Can you stay away for a while?
What the heck? His mother never said things like that, at least not to him. All he ever heard was, Nick, get your butt home now. He screwed his face up at the first thought that came to his mind, especially since she'd gone to dinner with his mentor and best friend, Big Bubba Burdett. Ah, man. What had lunatic Bubba and Mark gotten her into now with their shenanigans? Those two could find trouble in a padded room with both arms tied behind their backs. His stomach sank to his feet as an even worse thought hit him.
Ah, oh, Ma, please tell me you ain't doing nothing with Bubba. I swear to God, if I come home to a tie on the doorknob, I'll be scarred for life. I am not ready to deal with the thought of that man as my new daddy. Oh, my Lord Nicholas Ambrosius Gaucher.
The things that get in your head, boy. Don't make me hunt you down to spank you. Seriously? This has nothing to do with Bubba. Oh, my Lord, boy, really, really?
Then what?
The police just came here to arrest you.
Nick froze as every bit of blood faded from his face. Bad flashbacks went through him from the last time he'd been wanted for something he hadn't done.
What?
You heard me. Then looking for a suspect to all the murders that's been going on.
Yeah, but why blame him? Only thing he was guilty of was hogging covers and sneaking French fries when Cody wasn't looking. And one time only, he'd taken a sip of Zev's beer by mistake because he thought it was a ginger ale. Even then, he'd confessed promptly the following Saturday to Father Jeffrey and had done every one of his acts of contrition and sworn to the Heavenly Father he'd never do it again until he turned 21, and even then he wouldn't for fear his mom might not let him make it to 22.
What's that got to do with me, Ma?
Two of the victims were your friends, Alan and Tari.
Her words slammed into him like a physical blow. No, it couldn't be. Nick staggered back into the wall. He wouldn't have been more stunned had she named Asheron and Nick's Dark Hunter boss Kyrian as victims. In fact, Alan and Tyree jumping him was what had led him to meeting Kyrian in the first place when Kyrian had saved his life after Alan had shot him on the street.
Someone overheard you threatening to kill him, Nick, to get back at them for beating you that night. So the police want to question you about it. They think you wanted retaliation. You're their primary suspect.
I didn't do it, Ma.
I know, baby. Kyrian and Asheron are talking to a lawyer about it right now. But I didn't want the police picking you up and hauling you to jail without a warning, like you're some kind of hoodlum. We're going to take you in with that lawyer so that you won't be booked and processed. I just need to know when you're coming home so that we can take care of this mess and not let you spend any time in jail.
He was truly grateful for that. Last thing he wanted was to be locked up like his father, especially now that he was a Malachi. That kind of anger and viciousness fed his powers, made him ruthless and stronger, ate away his will, and left him vulnerable to the bad side of his demonic tendencies. If left too long among those kind of people, he might lose control and become a full-blown demon. Yeah, that was a terrifying thought. And it was the last thing anyone needed. Nick swallowed hard.
I'm with Simi. You safe?
Definitely. There's no way the police can get to me here.
Okay. Stay there and I'll call and tell you where to meet us so that we can handle this.
Nick hung up the phone and shook his head as he tried to make sense of the insanity. But that wasn't possible. Alan and Tyree were dead.
How?
While it was true they'd been known to run with a rough crowd and get into things they shouldn't, it was still a shock to him. They'd once been inseparable brothers who had each other's backs through thick and thin. Dang.
You okay?
He blinked at Takeshi's question. Can you show me my friends on that timeline? Did Alan and Tyree die like this originally?
What do you mean?
My friends, who shot me, did they die in the first go-round, before the timeline was tampered with? He moved back to the lights and tried to read his roadmap. I have to know what happened to them before Ambrose came back and started changing things. Takeshi took him over to the first weird split.
Well, you weren't shot in the first sequence. You were stabbed.
Why would that change?
Nashira moved forward. Because one of the possibilities in the new timeline is that you could go to prison for murder in retaliation for being shot and then mugged by them.
Takeshi nodded.
She's right.
He pointed out the lines that intersected.
See how things build on each other. That's cause and effect. As you change something, it goes into a different direction and splinters off. This is now a new possibility that wasn't here before.
Nick was slowly beginning to understand.
Like in the eye of Ananke.
Takeshi stared at him.
What do you know of that?
I had it.
Caleb took it from me like an irate parent, slapped my hand, and told me not to touch it again or he'd slap my face next time.
Good. You don't need to play with that. It'll only mess you up.
And boy had it. His head hadn't been right since. Though to hear most tell it, his head had never been right. Some days he agreed. More green began to flash. What's going on now?
Takeshi laughed nervously.
Honestly, I'm not sure you want me to answer.
That didn't help his would-be ulcer any. Ambrose told me to use the eye to reset what I'd done, to go back to the beginning and not mess up anything else.
Yeah, but you're not listening, Nick. It's not what you did. Someone else is tampering with your timeline. This isn't about what you're doing. It's what they're undoing.
Dude, you're seriously freaking me out.
You need to be freaked out. This is bad. Everything is unraveling, and you're walking a tightrope.
Not helping.
Nick's only saving grace was that Cody wasn't here to hear the unmasculine whine in his voice. That was the last thing he wanted. Or worse, for Caleb to hear it.
You're misreading this.
They both turned to stare at Nashira.
Pardon?
She stepped forward.
Look at it, Neo, carefully.
With a delicate grace, she moved her hands over the lines, as if playing some kind of instrument. As she did so, the lights shimmered and danced, then cleared. Takeshi gaped.
She's right.
I'm lost again. He shook his head.
No, Nick. You're found. Just close your eyes, count to three, and open them.
Yeah, right. I wasn't born yesterday. Last time I did that, I got sucker punched. His past had given him severe trust issues. He didn't blindly close his eyes for anyone, not even to make a wish on his birthday cake. Simi tisked at him.
You can trust them, silly boy demon. Just do what he says.
Not sure about that, Nick growled and forced himself to do it. But it made every hair on the back of his neck stand up in protest. Trust was not in him, with or without the Malachi blood. Jeez. Yet the moment he began to relax, he started to understand what they'd been trying to tell him. Gasping, he opened his eyes and shook his head.
You are the Malachi.
For the first time, Nick got it. Completely. He saw the universe as it was and his real and true place in it. More than that, he had a quickening of the breath and depth of his true powers. They flowed and united, not just his, but of all the Malachi who'd come before him. He was Monacribos, Jeros, Evander, and Veres, Yoren, Eli, Zul, Elion, Zarex, Utu, Adarian, Ambrose. On and on, all united, from first to last throughout time, he felt that connection. More than that, he saw how it all began and felt the rage of the first betrayal that had led to their creation, the hunger for blood. Throughout time, his species had been on a quest for vengeance. Nothing soothed it. Not until the day Nick had found his Cody.
I don't understand, he whispered.
Yet no sooner had those words come out of his mouth than he saw himself long ago.
Chapter 3
So you're the son of Braith.
Standing in the middle of an opulent marble hallway, Nick blinked at the rich melodic voice so similar to Cody's, and yet the accent was very different. Even so, this woman shared the same bright green eyes that seared him with intelligent curiosity and a smile that made every part of his body sizzle. She was just as breathtakingly bold as she walked straight up to him and arched her brow in challenge.
Have you nothing to say to me?
Not really. He was too amused by the woman, who barely came up to his chin. Her white wings twitched. Her spunk and sass warmed him on every level.
And you would be... Rubati.
I've come to join the goddess's guard.
But they told me that there were no openings. Apparently there are so many Malachi here in the city that were being sent back home without even being tested for skill. Pity.
Sighing, she turned to leave. Before he could stop himself, he reached for her hand. And why is that? There was no missing the confident gleam in her eyes.
I'm one of the best fighters ever born.
He laughed. Faster than he could react, she flipped him onto his back and had a knife at his throat. Impressed, he stared up at her, knowing that had she wanted to, she could have killed him. You made your point.
I know.
She stepped away and sheathed her knife. Then she held her hand out for him so that she could help him to his feet. Thinking to fool her, he tried to flip her in turn. Even then she got the better of him, and once again he ended on the flat of his backside, staring up at the amused twinkle in her eyes. Until he swept his feet out from under her. With a shriek, she crashed down on top of him. Laughing once more, he rolled and pinned her beneath him. Draw, is it? With an indignant hiss, she reluctantly ceded his victory.
That was an unfair attack.
Really? You dare accuse me, given what you just did.
A little, aye.
More amused than he should be, he rolled off her and helped her up. I'm still impressed. And perhaps we can find a place for you in the guard after all, regardless of what they told you. Would you like for me to speak with the commander on your behalf?
Her hopeful expression did the strangest things to his gut. Honestly, he'd never seen anyone more beautiful. Nor had she been boasting about her skills. She was an accomplished fighter. Could you?
Sure. On
One condition.
What? Have dinner with me?
Nick let out a deep breath as he realized he was seeing how Monacribos and Rubati first met and how they started their doomed relationship. Monacribos was the original Malachi, who'd founded his lineage before recorded history had begun. It had been Rubati's vicious murder at the hands of her drugged and deranged husband, as decreed by treacherous gods, that had led to Nick's curse and prophecy. His forefather had sworn his vengeance against them all for what they'd taken from him. He'd vowed to see the entire world burn over it. The heart and soul of her husband, Rubati had been the anchor who had kept the first Malachi sane and manageable. She alone had made him human. Once she was gone, he'd lost all shred of humanity and caring. It was her DNA that she shared with Cody's mother that allowed Cody to be Nick's anchor in the future. And it was why he was their one hope of thwarting the Malachi curse. Because Cody's mother had been created from Rubati's blood, she alone calmed him. All because her mother had been born out of the injustice of Rubati's murder. The gods had wrongfully taken Rubati's life. And so to balance it out, Bethany had been resurrected without a heart to provide justice to the universe. That was the legacy of Cody's bloodline. Her family were all gods of justice and balance, Thonians or demigods, protectors of man. Meanwhile, Nyx were the destroyers. They were hatred and all the darkness of the universe. By reuniting their two bloodlines, Nick and Cody stood a chance at laying the hatred aside and allowing Nick to live out his lifetime not as a destroyer, but as a protector, too.
"Haven't you figured it out yet?"
Nick gasped as he heard his father's voice in the ether around him.
"A Darian?"
Something slammed into his chest, knocking him down. It felt as if he'd been hit by a truck. With a gasp, he forced himself to his feet and braced himself to take another hit as he realized this wasn't who and what he thought. This was the other Malachi.
"Where are you?"
he roared.
"Face me, you coward!"
Light blinded him, and out of the searing brightness came the red and black winged beast who haunted his nightmares, the one with red glowing eyes that hated him most, not his father, Ambrose Malachi, the monster he feared becoming, beautiful and ugly in that he would one day incinerate the world, or at least allow it to fall. Nick winced as he faced himself in the vast nothingness that hovered between dimensions.
"Why are you here?"
Ambrose tisked at him.
"Come on, kid. You're not this stupid. I mean, you are, but think about it for a minute."
He lifted his clawed hands up. The black talons shot fire toward the sky as his black wings spread out. Those eyes telegraphed their hatred and malice.
"What are the inherent powers of our kind?"
Nick scowled at Ambrose's question. Necromancy, which had been one of his hardest things to master, and he was still working on it. The ability to talk to the dead wasn't something he could do with any kind of ease. Not to mention, it was rather creepy. And the dead tended to be crabby whenever he tried it. They had nasty attitudes about being disturbed. Kind of like his, whenever his mom asked him to take out the trash. Ambrose nodded in approval.
"What else?"
The first one he'd mastered, and the only one he'd been born with that Manyara hadn't been able to bind or restrict. Perspicacity. That ability to see the heart and truth of those around him.
Whether it was the fact that Asheron was really a god, or to tell whenever someone was lying to him, a Malachi could always see the truth of all things, who and what everything really was.
Nothing and no one ever got the better of a Malachi. Ambrose inclined his head.
"Go on."
Teleportation. They could move through connected space in short bursts, but not through time. Handy, but irritating to master,
in that Nick had screwed it up a lot in the beginning and had embarrassed himself royally as he ended up in a few places he hadn't meant to. Yeah, not some of his finer memories. Puberty was bad enough. Puberty combined with sporadic bursts of popping in and out of rooms and clothes. Nightmare levels that drove even the bravest into therapy.
Next,
Ambrose prompted.
Silk speech. Another of the easier powers to master, the ability to sway the minds of the weak and influence thought.
To make them do or think what you wanted. One of Nick's favorite powers, especially with his teachers, and very handy for saving him from detention at school and getting him out of parking tickets. Sadly, it didn't work with his stubborn mother or girlfriend, and if he tried it on Caleb, that resulted in massive bruising both to his body and ego.
You're halfway there, kid.
Nick went for another aggravating one that misfired more than it worked correctly. Clairvoyance? Because the future wasn't set, that one could be seriously tricky. The ability to see an ever-changing future was like trying to jump on board a moving train. You had to time it correctly and make sure you didn't misjudge your steps. Or miss seeing the blurry telephone pole that was about to take your head off if you failed to see it in time. It also required opening his senses to the ether he was in now, to be able to see, hear, and experience a heightened realm, and to leave his body behind so that he could see the entire universe. It was frightening here. A part of him was always scared he wouldn't make it back to his body, that he'd get lost and be adrift forever. But once tapped, he could find anything, hear anyone, see the past, present, or future. It was like time traveling in a way. You just had to be able to make sense of it and understand it, or not get drowned or overwhelmed by it all. A very tricky thing to do.
And?
Dude, don't rush me, he bristled at Ambrose. If anyone knew how much he hated to be pushed, it was himself. Ambrose gave him a peeved, droll stare. Yeah, well, he deserved it. Nick cleared his throat before he continued. Telekinesis. Another one that had been relatively easy to master, at least when it involved his Malachi tools. They usually came whenever he called them. Other objects could be a little harder, as they had a tendency to hit him in the head, and other body parts he didn't want to think about. Mostly because that tended to make him walk funny for a few.
You're almost there.
His pocket heated up to remind him of his favorite one, and it was where he kept his pendulum at all times, as he was prone to lose things. Divination and conjuring. Again, they could be tricky, but so long as he stayed focused, they weren't so bad. And though most people thought divination was the same as clairvoyance, it wasn't. Divination and conjuring relied on using objects or tools in order to read signs or learn about the higher senses. Those were an entirely different set of skills. Ambrose nodded.
Almost there.
Summoning. And he definitely wasn't fond of it, as that ability to bring or summon any demon into his realm came without any effort whatsoever. All he needed was their correct name. Sometimes not even that. It was one power Nick could do without, as it had gotten him into all kinds of trouble over the years, not to mention his current pet, Zavid. Although the Hellhound would be the first to protest that label, it was still apropos. Nick hadn't meant to bind Zavid to him as a servant, but again, as the Malachi, it was just a little too easy to do it. Sadly, it was much harder to break.
You forgot one. The most important one, too.
Nick froze as he ran back through them. No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. Think about it for a minute.
Then Ambrose ran over the list again.
There are 10 powers. You named 9. Necromancy, persipacity, teleportation, silk speech, clairvoyance, telekinesis, divination and conjuring, and summoning. That's 9.
He was right. Of course, there was a reason why he'd forgotten the last one. It was one Nick didn't play around with, because it was the one he screwed up with the most. And it was the one you really didn't want to screw up, as it had some of the worst consequences. Hence Vaughn's predicament of being a guy trapped in the body of a girl. And it had been the one that had caused his friend Madog to be turned into a goat for a while.
Transformation.
Yeah, Ambrose breathed. Transformation.
Nick froze, as he finally understood what his older incarnation was trying to tell him. Cyprian isn't in his real body.
No. It's why you can't recognize him or feel another Malachi around you.
Just like he didn't see the Dark Hunter bow and arrow mark on Ambrose's face whenever he appeared to him, or the Malachi marks, because they hid those. A Malachi could appear as anyone or anything he chose to. Like Simi, or any of the Karate demons. They could have any body or appearance they wanted. Young, old. Crap. And with a Malachi here, Nick's powers would be weaker and weaker. His son would drain him until he was too weak to fight. Why is he here, do you know? I mean, if he kills me, he won't be born, right?
You have never learned to ask the right questions, kid. Don't you get it?
He faded into the abyss.
Wait, come back!
Nick growled in frustration.
If you know the answer, why don't you tell me?
He hated whenever they did that crap with him. Why did they have to play these games? Why not spill the beans and let him make soup or toss it? I swear I'm getting a tumor from all this. Nick sighed as he listened to the voices in the ether and tried to sort through the madness of it all. Millions of thoughts came at him simultaneously, a cacophony of complaints, needs, and wants. No wonder the gods tuned them out. You had to or you'd lose your mind. It was unrelenting. People ricocheted through life like random pinballs speeding through one giant machine. Everything about it made him dizzy. Honestly, he didn't know how Acheron remained sane. In some ways, he wished Ambrose had never told him about his future. Closing his eyes, Nick tapped the very powers he'd mentioned. His clairvoyance opened and left him standing over his mother's body. Left him in the darkness of his own home, feeling betrayed by Acheron and Kyrian for allowing the daemons they fought to murder her in cold blood. More than that was the guilt. He should have been there. Tears streamed down his face as pain lacerated him. His mother had given him life, had sheltered and protected him with everything she had, and how had he returned her love? He left her defenseless when she needed him most. On the very night when the daemons had come to his door in the guise of a Dark Hunter, Nick had been out with the other squires patrolling to protect strangers, not his mother. He left her in the hands of the immortal protectors who'd sworn to keep humans safe from the demons who preyed on them, trusted in Acheron and his army to shelter the only person he needed and loved, a woman who had been kind and caring toward all of them. Nick choked on a sob as he saw her throat slashed open and her glazed, glassy eyes that accused him of carelessness. This was his unstoppable future, the one pith point he couldn't change. No matter what he tried, all roads led him here. Throwing his head back, he shouted out in agony. Why couldn't he save her with all the powers he had? We are destruction. The voice of the Malachi whispered through him. It was the thunderous dark sound that he knew well. An amalgam of all his predecessors. Older than time, it reverberated through his entire being. With it came that surge of power, primal and raw. Nick forced it down. He didn't want to go Malachi, not now. He needed to stay rational and figure this out. He couldn't give in to the hatred. There was too much on the line, too many that he cared about.
I won't let you tell me who I am, he breathed. I am Nick Gaucher.
Tomorrow he might become Ambrose Malachi,
but it wouldn't be today. No. Not today.
Suddenly his phone rang. Jumping, he answered it, no longer thinking it peculiar. Peculiar was becoming his new middle name. However, that being said, what he did find shocking was to find Virgil Ward on the other end.
You remember me, kid?
Yeah. As a blood-sucking attorney, literally, Virgil was a hard creature to forget. A little over 6 feet tall, he didn't appear to be any older than 16 or 17, Nick's age, when Virgil had been turned into a real vampire after a demon had bitten him. Now he spent eternity working night court for the damned and preternatural as part of the Lawrence and Ward law firm in a posh downtown office. Virgil was also the only one whose powers of persuasion and masking put Nick's to shame. That boy could pull the wool over anyone's eyes.
Good. I just got off the phone with your mom, and I'm going to walk you into the police station to see about this matter where they want to talk to you and make sure you don't hit lockup for reasons we all know. Where are you?
Do you know a guy named Takeshi?
As in the Zayaga kick your hide sideways?
That'd be the one.
Very familiar. Still have the boot prints on my left cheek. You with him?
Affirmative.
Good lad. Safe place. I like it. Can you put him on a phone for me?
Before Nick could answer, a strange buzzing started on the line, one that drowned out Virgil's voice. His vision dimmed, pain exploded through his head and left him in absolute agony. What the heck? He blinked in an effort to clear his vision, yet all it did was make him queasy, dizzier. The darkness lifted into a bright, searing light that made it even harder for him to see. Tires squealed. Before Nick could recover, something slammed into him and sent him careening through the air. An instant later, he landed on pavement and realized that he'd been struck by a car. Unable to move, he lay in the street as his entire body throbbed. Voices assaulted him. He tried to get up and focus. Everything was hazy and surreal.
You are mine, Malachi. And I will make you bleed.
Chapter 4. Nick could feel the breath of his son on the back of his neck as his powers weakened and left him feeling drained and helpless. For the first time in his life, he understood his father's animosity toward him. It was an involuntary survival instinct built into their Malachi DNA that wanted to destroy anything that threatened them. It was innate and primal, terrifying. The fact that his father had gone down protecting him and his mother said a lot for Adarian. That alone allowed him to finally forgive his father for the sins that had created Nick. Allowed him to let go of the hatred and anger he'd borne for the creature who'd sired him. For the first time ever, he understood his father's mindset and what made his mother such an incredible gift. Even after all the horrors his father had put her through, she'd still been able to find the good in both of them. Rather than hate Nick for the violence of his conception, she'd found a way to see past the horror of it. Never once had she held his father's axe against him.
You are my most precious baby, Nicky Boo. There's never nothing you could do to make me not love you through and through, for you are, and will always be, my baby angel.
It was why the thought of her future murder crippled him now and would one day destroy him. She truly saw no evil in this world. For he was a Malachi born of equal part Mavromino and equal part Colossum. Like the firstborn Monacribos, Nick alone shared that unique birthright. So how, then, could he have a son born of such hatred that he could feel it crawling over his skin like a living creature? This amount of venom came straight from the source. He sensed it as if it were part of him. All Malachi were conceived in violence to do violence and to die violently. Yet Nick knew that he'd never, ever be able to harm another person that way. It just wasn't in him to act the way his father had. Never. He knew himself better than that. Laughter echoed in the ether. In and out and all around, as he pushed himself to his feet. Something else sizzled. He turned a circle in the darkness, seeking some hint of the malevolent child he could feel and not see. Why were they playing this cruel game of hide-and-seek? Suddenly he was surrounded. The very shadows emerged into the light to attack. These were the kinds of demons he knew well. With his Malachi powers, he summoned his sword and went after them. He felt a familiar surge of rage, but quickly pushed it down. Don't give in. He knew better than to let his anger rule him. In spite of what Caleb and Zev thought, he was paying attention during his lessons. He heard his instructors and friends. Most days, anyway. He spun and caught the first demon behind him with a vicious blow that caused it to shrink back into the darkness. Another came forward to attack. Nick barely countered in time to keep it from slashing his arm, but he severed its hand. It shrieked and withdrew.
Nick!
That was Virgil's voice. Nick's sight dimmed. Everything shook and spiraled. What the heck? He wasn't sure what happened, not until he began to fall through the ether again. What was this feeling? It was as if he had no grounding anywhere. Something was pulling him against his will. He had no control, not until he found himself back on the floor of Takeshi's home, with Simi, Takeshi, and Nashira standing over him like a group of worried parents. Blinking, he stared up at them.
Having that moment where I feel like my mom was calling me for dinner and I was on the last level of a video game and didn't hear because the big boss was almost dead and there was no pause on the game?
Takeshi rolled his eyes.
Feeling like that parent who wants to beat my kid but can't because I don't want to go to jail and ruin my credit scores.
Nick scowled. Bro, that makes no sense.
Neither does what you just said. Now you know how we feel.
Snorting, he took Takeshi's hand and let him pull him to his feet. What happened?
No. Your eyes rolled back in your head and you hit the ground pretty hard. You okay?
Nick rubbed at the large bruise that was forming on the base of his skull. Major concussion would definitely explain the rodeo I just went on.
Rodeo?
You know, wander about aimlessly, drag the streets, make a pass through... Never mind. I've gone caging and y'all looking at me like Cody did the first time I asked her if she was playing Rat de Bois with me or if she wanted to go make groceries. Takeshi scowled.
Did you... what?
Nashira shook her head.
Rat de Bois means opossum. The other means he's going to the market for food.
Seriously?
She nodded. Hanging out in his pocket has been... quite the education.
I can imagine.
Nick snorted. Hey now, don't you even slap on me, giving a random act of violence against the entire English language that comes out of the mouths of Aaron, Vaughn, and Kazil. I only get about 1/5 of everything they say. Some days not even that much. Laughing, Takeshi brushed his thumb against his bottom lip.
So, what happened?
I don't know, I got snatched into the ether by... something. The other Malachi, maybe? At least, that's what I think happened. Nick pressed the heel of his hand against his eye to ease the ache there. How can he be here? And who the heck is he? Who's his mother? Nashira and Takeshi passed a look between themselves that said they knew the answer, but had no intention of sharing it.
Come on, guys, really? You can't sit on this one. You have to tell me something. Especially if you know who he is.
Takeshi shook his head.
Nick, you know the law and how this works. The more you know, the worse it gets.
Then why do I have clairvoyance at all?
Do you?
He had a point, and Nick hated him for it. From what he understood about the power, even when it worked, it wasn't foolproof.
Why do you have it?
Because... I don't use or abuse the power. I know how dangerous it is to tamper with things best left undisturbed.
Nick was about to snark at him when he felt a peculiar sensation go through him, one that was unmistakable and left him sick to his stomach. Eyes wide, he met Simi's gaze. Cody's under attack! Without waiting for anyone, he teleported to her house. To his horror, he found her there, surrounded by more than a dozen mortant demons. True to her breeding, she was holding her own, but she'd broken a good sweat and was definitely outnumbered. Need a little hand, Cher? She passed him a disgruntled grimace. Nah, sugar, I got this. Go have some lunch. Laughing at her sarcasm, he manifested his Malachi sword and moved in to protect her back. Still, the demons kept coming. It was like a bad dream. How are they getting in? Cody shook her head as she parried another assault. No idea. I had everything locked down. Nothing should have been able to breach my shields. Nick hissed as the demon he was fighting caught him with his fangs. Punching the wretched beast knocked him away. Well, this isn't fun. Simi, Takeshi, and Nashira finally joined them. Did y'all get lost?
No. Her sigils blocked us.
Cody lopped the head off a demon she was fighting before she gave him an I-told-you-so stare. Yeah, but they're here. You can't argue with this, he gestured at the carcasses of the smelly beasts lining Cody's floor.
I know. It defies my best ability to explain it.
Takeshi glanced to Simi, who was staring at the wall.
What do you see, Sim?
The evil Arrow. He did this.
Cody gasped. Sriwasha? Simi nodded.
Him mad that you not kill Akrinik. So he not working with them Grim and war to kill you, Akra Cody.
Well, that's a load. Nick felt his eyes change as his powers surged from the rush of anger that went through him at the thought of Cody being harmed, especially because of him. I thought we'd gotten rid of those pricks. But he knew better. That had been wishful thinking on his part. The Aerolim controlled Cody. They were the whole reason she was here, the reason she'd been brought back from the dead in the future and sent back in time. Her eyes sad, she cupped his face in her hands. Breathe, Nick. It'll be fine. He didn't believe it for a minute. Everything was spiraling out of control, faster than he could catch it, faster than he could catch his breath. She kissed his lips, then grimaced at him.
And why are you here with Takeshi and Nashira?
You know Takeshi? What a stupid question. Of course she knew him. She knew everyone.
He was friends with my father and uncle.
Nick didn't miss the odd light in Takeshi's gaze as he studied Cody. What's that look mean?
Deja vu.
Now it was Nashira's turn to go pale.
You can't have that.
Yeah, I know. But I'm having it anyway. And it's freaking me out as much as it is you.
Takeshi jerked his chin toward Cody.
The last time I saw her, she was a grown woman. She's not supposed to look like this. That's not her body.
Cody scowled. Pardon? Takeshi crossed his arms over his chest as he surveyed the house and dead demons on the floor.
You don't remember your life, do you?
Of course. I remember my father and brothers, my mother.
What do you know of Nick?
He killed me and my family.
Takeshi let out a nervous breath.
No, Nerea. He didn't.
She narrowed her eyes and stepped back in confusion.
Are you sure?
You know I would never lie to you. Have you really forgotten your children?
Indecision played across her features as she shook her head.
I was a girl in battle.
No. You weren't.
Cody glanced back at Nick, and the uncertainty in those green eyes scorched him.
It makes sense, in a weird way. I think that's why I couldn't kill you when I first met you, like Sriwasha wanted me to.
Takeshi gaped.
Pardon?
She swallowed hard before she spoke again.
He sent me back in time to stop the Malachi. First Geros, and then we went through several of them. I failed each time because they were far more powerful than I was. Until we got to Nick. Him, I could have taken easily because he hadn't come into his powers yet. He was too young and ridiculous when I met him. But for some reason I couldn't bring myself to take the kill shot, even though I knew he'd eventually go bad and kill everyone I loved. I kept seeing the good in him, and thinking that he could be saved.
She cupped Nick's cheek.
There was something about him I couldn't resist.
It's the Rubati blood in you. Instinctively, it calls to Monocribos, regardless of the incarnation of your own body. And that's why Nick is leashed with you by his side. You anchor him, just as she anchored Kree all those centuries ago.
But then why would Stralasha want me to kill Nick? Especially if he wasn't the one who destroys everything?
Simi tisked at her.
Make total sense, Akra Cody. 'Cause if the bad Malachi demon boy had already killed you and Akri Nick, then he'd be stronger. So the best way to beat him would be to kill his father before he's born.
She's right. It'd be the only way to stop him, especially if you don't know who he or his mother is.
Nick scratched his head. I'm still so confused by that. If I'm in love with Cody, and I know it, then I know I didn't two-time her with someone else. I'm not that kind of dirtbag. He jumped as his phone rang and startled him. Jeez! Grabbing it, he saw it was Virgil again. Sheepishly, he answered it.
Where are you?
Sorry, had a little demon trouble to take care of. We're on our way. Be there in a few. He hung up. I have to meet Virgil and go to the police station. Cody's eyes widened.
What?
Yeah, it's good to be me, he sighed. Let me get this over with, and then we can clean this mess up.
I'll tell Caleb to meet you there, just in case he gets stuck.
He started to tell her not to be so paranoid, but they were talking about him. Yeah, with his luck, a backup plan was always a smart idea. Things tended to go sideways as soon as he lifted his head off the pillow, sometimes before he even opened his eyes in the morning. Sliding the phone into his pocket, he faced Takeshi. Anything I need to know going into this?
A deep, dark red light flickered in his eyes. The future is determined by the decisions you make every second of the day. Victor and victim both come from the Latin word victus, to vanquish or be vanquished. Yet the original meaning of victim was to be a living entity, killed and offered in sacrifice to some higher supernatural power.
Those words sent chills over Nick. Invictus. It was the tattoo on Ambrose's arm that meant unconquerable, never subdued. Like his friends Bubba and Mark always said, you might kill me, but I'll be taking you to hell with me so that I can chain you to the throne of Satan myself and spend the rest of eternity whooping your ass. That was the Southern way. It was also very Cajun and vintage Malachi. No dang demon kills me and lives. On that you can bank. Nick held his hand out to Takeshi. Takeshi smiled as he shook it.
That's the Ambrose I know. Take care. I'll be seeing you, kid.
He vanished and left Nashira. Cody frowned.
Caleb isn't answering his phone.
She hung up. Can you reach him? Nick didn't bother with the phone. He used his powers to call out for his surly bodyguard. Yo, baby KK! I'm doing something stupid and dangerous. You gonna come knock me in the head for it, or do you plan to let Simi have all the fun honors? Caleb didn't answer. An awful feeling went through him. Where was Caleb? Cody swallowed hard.
He's not answering you either, is he?
He shook his head. I can't go to Virgil until I make sure Caleb's okay.
I know.
We'll meet you there. They all teleported to Caleb's front door. Nick would have gone inside, since he had permission to get past Caleb's sigils, but he wasn't about to pop in alone when he didn't know what was on the other side waiting to devour him. While he was about as reckless as anyone could get, he wasn't particularly stupid, as that tended to be fatal in large doses. So he paused until Simi, Nashira, and Nakoda caught up to him. Then he knocked on the door of Caleb's huge antebellum mansion. The sound echoed through the place. No one came to the door. Nick passed a grim stare to the women. All right. I'm going in first. See me? Anything rears its head? Barbecue it up.
Rubbing her hands together, she smiled so wide it showed off her fangs.
Goody! Seemy knows there was a reason she loved her demon boy.
Not wanting to think about that, Nick took the knob in his hand and used his powers to unlock it. He opened it slowly, expecting snot demons, hell monkeys, who knew what to come flying at him. But there was nothing in the foyer. Dark and quiet. The house seemed abandoned.
Caleb? Vaughn, Aaron, Zev, anyone? Bueller?
Snorting at his joke, Nashira jerked her chin toward the staircase.
Upstairs. I heard a groan.
Nick bolted for the steps and took them two at a time. He didn't slow until he reached Caleb's upstairs study, where he found them, wounded and bleeding.
Oh, my God!
In his orange demon form, Caleb was flat on his back and lying with a blood-soaked cloth over his abdomen.
Not exactly the right entity.
Then he groaned. Aaron grimaced.
Be speaking for yourself, demon. When I lay me hands on the bloody knockers, I'll be teaching them what it is to come at a war god unawares. Bollocks! Ain't been hurt like this since the time I ran afoul of the Dagda.
Vaughn nodded in agreement as he drew a ragged breath.
They came up on us like a pack of jackals so fast we near saw them till they had us all bleeding.
Who were they?
Nick knelt beside Caleb, while Cody checked on Aaron.
Sephirii.
Nick froze at the last word he expected out of Caleb's mouth.
Pardon?
Cody shook her head.
That's impossible. They were all put down.
Caleb pushed himself slowly to his feet to face her. His features were strained and earnest, while he held his makeshift bandage against his ribs.
Yeah, I know. I was there. I saw them fall. But I also led my army against and for them for hundreds of years, believe me. I know a Sephiroth sword when it cuts me.
He pulled the cloth away to show them the grisly wound on his stomach. Nothing else looks like this. Cuts as deep or burns half as much. Nick screwed his face up at the painful sight.
Brah, there's ladies present. Cover that.
Cody ignored his outburst.
Jared is the only Sephiroth left, and he's imprisoned. His sword was destroyed when they enslaved him.
Yeah, I heard that lie, too.
Caleb pointed back at his wound. Then he threw his head back and let out a shout that practically shook his rafters.
Shadow! Get your rank worthless carcass here now. Don't you dare drag your ass, or I'll kick it every step from here to Avalon and back.
She's almighty, demon. What's your da...
The disembodied voice broke off as a man materialized in front of them, and he saw Caleb's wounds.
Oh, you really are damaged.
About half a foot shorter than Nick, he appeared to be mid-twenties, with hazel gray-blue eyes that held a storm inside them. The man's hair was a strange shade, neither light nor dark. It held strands of both and managed to fall between the two colors, and he wore it pulled back into a short, tight ponytail. The one good thing about him was that unlike Aaron, Kaziel, and Vaughn, his British accent was light, pleasant, and easy to understand. Caleb glared at the man as if he could rip his throat out, and the funny thing was, he didn't react to Caleb's venom at all. He was so cool about it, he practically bled icicles.
So, Shadow, explain to me how it is we were just attacked with Sephirii swords.
Shadow blinked twice before he glanced around at each of them. Still, so nonchalant that Nick admired his ability to show nothing. Dang, to have that amount of control over his emotions. He'd never get in trouble for anything.
No idea.
Really?
Really?
So you're telling me that you really destroyed every last one of them like you were instructed to do after the Primus Bellum?
Only then did his facade crack. In fact, his expression was the same one Nick got whenever his mom asked if he was the one who'd forgotten to put the toilet seat down, which she already knew the answer to, since he was technically the only guy in the house, and Zev didn't count because he was in the disguise of a cat, and his mom didn't know it, and, well, the nasty bugger never forgot to put it down once he was finished. All that aside, Nick hated it whenever she pulled that crap with him, as it was grossly unfair. Although, to be honest, he'd tried to blame it on space aliens a couple of times. And that had gone over about as well as Shadow's next words.
Basically, I destroyed the vast majority of them. Yeah.
Aaron cursed, then started for him, but Vaughn caught him and held him back.
Define majority, Caleb said,
in a voice that let it be known Caleb was only one wrong syllable from unleashing Aaron all over Shadow.
I was given counter-instructions by someone I trusted.
Who?
Shadow shook his head. I took a vow to never disclose that. But I believe what they told me. Caleb let out a feral growl.
You're an idiot.
Of course I am. I followed you into battle, didn't I, Commander? And what did it get me?
A tick started in Caleb's jaw. As I recall, you came out of it a lot better off than I did. Shadow took a step forward and lowered his voice to that demonic, evil tone.
You really want to compare those scars, Malthus?
Nick stepped between them. All right, ding ding, fighters to your corners. He gently nudged more room between them, then turned toward Shadow. If you think the swords are where you left them, check and see. It's an easy fix. Let's make everybody happy. How about that? He met Caleb's gaze. Would that satisfy you? Stepping around Nick, Caleb slugged Shadow. Shadow took the blow without flinching. All he did was wipe the blood away with the back of his hand while he glared angrily at Caleb.
Calm down. I took them into the Nithing. Nothing can get to them there.
Something did. I was just attacked by a group